Since the Lord has saved me, He's put a praise in my heart that's eternal. I don't know how else to describe it other than the praise that I have for the Lord is just an eternal praise. And nothing will take that from me. Death won't take that from me. Trouble won't take that from me. I'm going to praise the Lord forever. Amen. Throughout the eons of eternity, I'm just going to praise the Lord. The only hope our children and grandchildren have is the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The world continues to get wicked and crooked and perverse, but there's a God in heaven who's still on the throne. Amen. And their lives can abound to His honor and to His glory, no matter how terrible this world becomes. Amen. There's still power in the blood. Redeem and to save. Take your Bibles and turn with me to the 21st chapter of the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 21. I begin reading in verse 10 of the 21st chapter of Revelation. My interpretation of these particular passages have really not changed any since I first read them when I was still a teenager. I know I've read a lot of different commentaries and a lot of different books that have tried to, and I've heard a lot of sermons from these verses, but when I was just a teenager and I read these verses for the very first time, the Holy Spirit spoke to me and revealed to me that John saw heaven. Amen. And this is the glory land. The city four square. It's a real place, people. And it's not some default destination. You need to make preparation for going there. You don't just simply go to heaven automatically. You've got to have the blood of Jesus applied to your soul. This is a place that is prepared for the redeemed of God and is prepared for prepared people. Amen. You need to make preparation. Yes, heaven is a prepared place, but it's a place for prepared people. If you've not made your preparation to go there, you need to do that today. Amen. Did John see heaven? In my estimation, yes. Now, there's a lot of other things that he saw in addition to heaven. It was more than just heaven. He saw the glorified Jerusalem, which was prophesied of and foretold of in the Old Testament. Those things that the patriarchs were looking for. That glorified Jerusalem where all the redeemed of the world and the nations of the world would bring their glory into it. He saw that. All those prophecies are fulfilled, and he saw that city coming down out of heaven. I need to read these verses or I'm going to end up preaching before I read. Okay, let's start. Leading up to these verses, I want us to be aware of just a few things. Things have changed. Okay, there's first, before he sees the city revealed in the book, an expulsion, an exclusion of things. He saw those things like in verse 8, the fearful, the unbelieving, the whoremongers, the murderers, the sorcerers, the idolaters and all liars. They were cast into the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. All the bad stuff's going to be over. He revealed to us in the previous verses how that God is going to wipe away every tear from our eyes. There will be no more death. There will be no more sorrow. There will be no more crying. There will be no more pain. For the former things have passed away. Verse 3. And he said, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. Listen, that was the foretold prophetical promises that was given to Israel. That his people would be tabernacled with him. That was what was promised to Israel in the Old Testament. And we see that promise fulfilled in these verses.
up to this point, Armageddon is over. The judgment is over. Death and Hades are destroyed. A new world appears. We read in the earlier verses how that he says in verse 1, he saw a new heaven and a new earth. A new heaven and a new earth appear in the eyes of John. Listen, you know why a new heaven and a new earth appears? Because this world has been rolled up in fire and been completely destroyed. Peter said that the elements of this world, they're going to melt with fervent heat. They're going to be destroyed. And he also said in 2 Peter chapter 3, nevertheless, I like that. I think it's verse 13. Nevertheless, yes, this world is going to melt with fervent heat. The whole world is going to be consumed. The sun is going to refuse to shine. The moon is going to turn to blood. The stars are going to fall from heaven. The universe is going to collapse. But nevertheless, we look for a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. There's going to be a new universe. New universe. That, and John sees that in the first verse of this chapter. A new heaven and a new earth. All right. So we're talking about standing. The resurrection has occurred, right? I mean, we're in our glorified bodies. We're going to be like the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't know how we shall appear, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. So the resurrection is over. Judgment is over. And we're in our glorified bodies. And there's the city. The city, four square. No more pain, no more sorrow, no more turbulence. We're talking about some great conditions, people. Every tear wiped from our eye. And then we see the city. The city. The city, four square. I want to say to those of you that are here today that have never repented of your sins nor believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, never been born again of the Spirit of God, one thing is very, 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 very clear in these passages of Scripture. The unsaved do not get to go there. Even look into the next chapter, and it kind of confuses some people about how that we have the privilege of eating from the tree of life and the blessings of heaven. We get to enjoy the things of heaven in chapter 22, and it says, talks about verse 15, those things that are without. Don't get tripped up on that. Don't get confused about those things that are without. People that are sinning and living wicked lives, they are not going to be admitted. Amen. That's what that means. Yeah, they're not going to be admitted to heaven. The unrighteous, the unsaved, the wicked, the abominable, the whoremongers of this world, the perverts, the perverted, and all sexual sins and things that are unrighteous, they will not be admitted there. Actually, he tells us nothing in the same reading lesson, and I'll get to it in just a minute, verse 27 of chapter 21, nothing that defiles goes to heaven. Amen. We're talking about a holy city. Listen, if your heaven is not holy, you don't know anything about the holy heaven. Amen. You know nothing about the glorious city. It's a pure city. Righteous place. Place where we'll be united with Christ. All right, I'm going to try to read these. This is my exhilaration, this is my expectation. This is my home. And I'll begin reading. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto the stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. Now, for our modern day, jasper is not crystal clear, but this is a jasper. The word jasper is not a translation, it's transliteration of aspis or jaspers, and it is just a crystal clear stone. Now, he's describing for us the appearance, the initial appearance of the city coming down out of heaven onto the new heaven and the new earth. We're talking about the eternal capital city of God. And he says its appearance was like a crystal clear jasper stone. Most of us, I guess, could compare that to a diamond. A diamond. Clear and crystal clear. Clear. Not dense or colorful, but crystal clear. And had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, doorkeepers. Anybody say, come on in, have a nice day. Come on in, have a nice day. An angel posted at each one of the gates. There's 12 of them in number. The names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. Keep in mind, we're gonna see this city four square, just like the Holy of Holies that was cubed and four square, just like the city. The city is the Holy of Holies. And I don't know if you remember or not, but in the wilderness as they journeyed, the tribes were posted in connection and conjunction with the tabernacle. And there'd be three on each side. And these names of the 12 tribes of Israel. I want you to realize something. Old Testament saints, they get to go to heaven too. Old people can go to heaven too, but I was trying to say Old Testament. I said people instead. Old Testament saints, the children of Israel, the remnant of God, the true Israel of God, go to heaven. Listen, there's a symmetry, there's a connection, not only with the 12 tribes of Israel, but with the 12 apostles. As we continue to read, notice he says, and on the east, three gates, and on the north, three gates, and on the south, three gates, and on the west, three gates, and the wall of the city had 12 foundations in them, had the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. Oh me. Alright. Those doctrines and those teachings of the apostles are important. The church is built upon the apostles' doctrines. That's what Paul said. Founded upon those things that were taught of the Lord Jesus Christ. Established on those teachings and those doctrines of the Lord Jesus Christ. I can link this church's history back to the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And so their names are there too. All right. And there's 12 foundations on the wall of the city. 12 foundations on the wall. This is a big city. It needs a big foundation. All right, so the first thing he sees is, as he's looking off of this mountain, he sees the holy city, the great city, descending out of heaven from God. Now, let me make a point here. The souls of the saints are already in heaven. They're already in this city. And this whole notion and idea that that heaven got tainted by the devil and he's got to destroy it and rebuild it is hogwash. I don't know where that came from. It came from the figment of somebody's imagination. It's not biblical. This city is heaven. And it's a holy place. God is there. You can't contaminate God nor His holiness.
nor his righteousness.
And the souls of the saints are already with God. Y'all do believe that, don't you?
All right.
And really, as you look at these verses, and I'm going to read some more in a minute, but I need to back up just for a moment. He sees this city descending out of heaven from God. Verse 11. Look at verse 11. Look closely at verse 11. Having the glory of God and her light, listen, the city dispels and amplifies the glory of God.
I guess you could say, for the most part, that's the main distinction or characteristic of the city, is that it has the glory of God. And that word light is really important. The light. I mean, the glory of God in the Old Testament, it appeared in the form of a light, didn't it? Remember when Moses was wanted to see the glory of God, and he saw the back part of God? And his face, I mean, glowed with this bright light, so much that he had to put a veil on it. Just seeing a glimpse of the glory of God transformed his appearance. The glory of the Lord was upon his face. It was like a bright light. We read in the Old Testament of like when a glory of God came upon the tabernacle, when the glory of God filled the temple, it was a brightness, a bright cloud of light, of glory came down, and it just ran everybody away. They couldn't minister. They couldn't stand it. The other morning, I went out and got the paper, and as I was walking down my walkway there in front of the house, I looked out, and the sun was rising. I just looked into the brightness of the sun, and that's kind of the way that they saw the glory of the Lord and upon the Lord Jesus Christ, which is just a glimpse of the future glory as He was transfigured before them. His raiment was white as light. That's verse 2 of the 17th chapter of Matthew. And so we have the glory of God. The city, heaven, has the glory of God in it. Don't miss that. It has a full expression and full exposure of the glory of God. I mean, it's manifested, it's unlimited, it's unconfined. We've got the glory of God flashing from the city. I mean, it's bright. It's glorious. And it's going through this wall that's made of a diamond. Crystal clear. Now, diamonds, typically when we buy them, we want light to go in them and then come out of them. But we're talking about light or the glory of God in it coming out. Amen. Doesn't happen to your little ring. No. No. At the center of the city is the throne of God and the glory of God. And that glory of God is splashing out of the city onto the new heaven and the new earth, filling it completely. I'm convinced that when we're in heaven, there won't be a place that we can go where we're not exposed to the glory of God. It's everywhere. And it seems as though that the city, the wall, everything in it seems to be crystal clear with the exception of the foundation, just amplifying, magnifying the glory of God. Listen, if you're looking for privacy when you go to heaven, you won't get any. Everything's see-through. Right. With the exception of the foundation. And it's like a kaleidoscope with gems of different colors as we begin to read. This is going to be a magnificent light show. I mean, we're talking about the radiating splendor of God. What is your main objective in life? What is your ultimate goal in life? Is it to give God glory? Are you acquainted? Do you have any understanding or any acquaintance with the glory of God? Is it something that you long for? Desire? Do you have any kind of burden or desire to give God glory? Did God get glory from your life? These little children, what is our ultimate goal and desire and objective and prayer for them? Is it not that their lives would abound to the glory of God? to the glory of God.
I'm drawn to the glory of God, aren't you? I mean, it just kind of, we're not only drawn to the attractive appearance and outward description or architectural design of this city, but we're drawn inside. On through the pearly gates we shall go. And there's 12 of them that we have recorded. 3 on the east and 3 on the south, 3 on the west, 3 on the north. The wall of the city has 12 foundations, and on those foundations are the names of the apostles. We're going to find a lot of church stuff in the New Jerusalem. That's what we're going to do when we go to heaven. We're going to have church all the time. But there's going to be the glory of God on us all the time. Not like any church we've ever been to before. The wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city, the gates thereof, and the wall thereof. And the city lieth 4 square, and the length is as large as the breadth. And he measured the city with the reed, 12,000 furlongs. The length and the breadth and the height of it are equal. And he measured the wall thereof, and it had 144 cubits, according to the measure of a man, that is of the angel. I heard somebody say one time, well, that old King James, you know, in the 14th chapter of John says that Jesus was had a place prepared for us, and that in his Father's house were many mansions. I said, well, that don't make sense. That inside the Father's house would be mansions. And the house represents the city. Now, I don't know about you, but I live in about an 1,800 square foot home. If my home was comprised of 75 acres, for me, moving into a 75 acre home is a mansion. Plenty of room for a lot of grandkids. Plenty of room to park my chariots. I always want to put a car in the house. I mean, plenty of room. There's plenty of room. We can't even imagine streets going horizontally and vertically. We can't even imagine. We can't even wrap our head around the size of this place. But all the redeemed of God will have their place there. Amen. You can go there. You can be saved by the grace of God. Be born from above. Have an assurance in your heart that you too are going to heaven. He says the wall of this city, and I dealt with this on a Wednesday night when I went through the book of Revelation. I don't believe the height of the wall is only 72 yards. He says, he measured the wall there at verse 17, 144 cubits. He says, according to the measure of a man, that is of the angel. In other words, he's just saying, what's an inch for an angel is an inch for a man. What's a foot for a man is a foot for an angel, I think. That's my interpretation. Anyway, he's telling us that it was like 75 yards or 144 cubits. He's telling us, and a cubit's like from, you know, from the middle finger to the elbow, about 18 inches, 72 yards. I don't think it's the height. I think it's the width, the depth. You know, like the Great Wall of China, which is only like 3,889 miles long. I tell you, the wall of this city is a lot larger than the Great Wall of China. You know, I believe you'll be able to walk on the wall. I think it might even be the same height as the city, 1,500 miles high. But keep in mind the depth, okay? 75 yards deep, crystal clear diamond, and the glory of God coming through that, the light of the glory of God coming through that wall and through that city. You guys do realize as we go on and read in here, it talks about the streets of gold. It talks about the gold being clear. Go down here to Busch Jewelers or one of these other places and ask them to buy some clear gold.
See if you can find that here. You won't find that here. That kind of gold only exists in heaven. You'll be able to see through the streets, people.
The whole city is designed to magnify, to amplify, to exhibit. It's an exhibition of the glory of God. Amen. Don't lose sight of that, verse 11. Even the color of the foundation, beautiful stuff.
Verse 19, and the foundations of the wall of the city garnished with all manner of precious stones. Now, the reason it appeared as precious stones is because of the kind of things that happen to stone when light hits it. Can you only imagine when the light of the glory of God hits this stuff? Can you imagine the beauty, the rainbowic beauty of the colors of that place? He says this, the first foundation was jasper, jasperos in the Greek, which is the same as just a crystal clear diamond. The first seems to be like a diamond. Of the second, sardar, sapphire rather. And that would be like a bluish color. The third was chalcedony, which is a kind of a sky blue. The fourth, an emerald. Of course, emerald would be green. The fifth was sardonyx, which sardonyx would be like a red with like a white mixture in it. The sixth was sardis, which is like a red, a bright color, regular red. Which one was I on? Seventh was chersolid light. Some of these words are not in our language anymore. They're archaic. They no longer exist. But for the best we can tell, that's kind of a goldish, yellowish tone. The eighth is beryl, which is like a sea green. You don't have to go to the Gulf anymore. This will be one of the foundational colors. The ninth is a topaz, which is a kind of a yellowish color green. The tenth is a brighter, darker green. Chrysoprase is what it's in the 20th verse. 11th is jekneth, which is a violet, and the 12th is a purple. Can you imagine? The glory of God coming from the core of this city. It's a bright light splashing on these colors going through the streets of crystal clear gold through that 72-yard wall of diamond. John was up on that mountain and he saw the city. Massive. 1,500 miles squared city. Verse 21. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. You know, pearls are a little unique and different than the other gems and precious stones that we've looked at. All other precious gems are metal or stone, are metals or stones. John Phillips said, but a pearl is a gem formed within an oyster. It is the only one formed by living flesh. I like this. He says the humble oyster receives an irritation or a wound, and around the offended article that has penetrated and hurt it, the oyster builds a pearl. The pearl, we might say, is the answer of the oyster to that which injured it. The glory land is God's answer in Christ to the wicked men who crucified heaven's beloved and put him to an open shame. How like God it is to make a gate for the New Jerusalem pearls. The saints, as they come and go, will be forever reminded as they pass the gates of glory that access to God's home is only because of Calvary. Amen. Every time you pass through the pearly gates, you'll think of your Savior. Dying on the cross of Calvary for your sins, the agony and the pain, the anguish that He bore because of your transgressions and because of your sins. All right, what are we seeing? Well, we've seen these foundations like a kaleidoscope, these bright colors, and the light of God, the glory of God is shining through that foundation of that heavenly city. We have this unbelievable beauty described for us, these spectacular colors blazing through the city of the New Jerusalem coming down out of heaven from God. We see the light of glory, unmitigated, unhindered, the Shekinah glory in that city amplified by the brilliance of the architectural design, bouncing off the streets, going through the transparent wall that appears like a diamond. The city is shining like a brilliant diamond there as it splashes its beautiful colors of glory all over the new heaven and the new earth. This is a dazzling wonder of glory. And I'm going to see it. That's just the outside. That's just the appearance from afar. Just the appearance from afar. Perhaps those pearly gates are the same size as the wall. You know, maybe just as thick. I don't know about all that. But I tell you, it's going to be beautiful. It's going to be wonderful. And I'm going there. One of these days, standing in my glorified body, I will see that city. The Bible says the Lord of heaven is going to come with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God. The dead in Christ are going to rise first. We that are alive and remain, we're going to be called up to meet the Lord in the air. And the Bible says, so shall we ever be with the Lord. The Bible tells us there's coming a day when we'll come to the appearance of that city. And one of these days we'll get to go in. Amen. We go through those gates. And there inside we have the river that's crystal clear too. It's not going to be blue or green. It's going to be crystal clear. It has the water of life. I'm thankful I've drank of the water of life. I know what that water tastes like. Sure do. We have the tree of life growing with its 12 manner of fruit on each month, which is for the healing of the nations. If you ever receive healing, if you ever receive help, if you ever receive redemption, it has to come from heaven. Salvation comes from heaven. And you go on down in that next chapter, and then you come to that passage where it talks about, and then they see His face. We're going to get to see the face of Jesus. The Bible says for now in the book of Corinthians that we just through a glass darkly, we see, that we experience a little of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Well, there's where the glory is. There's where the glory begins. There's where the glory ends, in Jesus Christ. And if you're here today, you've never been saved. If you don't know if you're going to that city, if you're not sure if you're saved by the grace of God, if you've not gotten something that comes from heaven, and you don't know if you're going to heaven, you need to seek the Lord with all of your heart and be saved. Raise your hand if you know you're going there. Know that these eyes are going to see it, that these feet are going to walk through that pearly gate. I'm going to wave at that angel as I go in. Yeah. That day's coming for me. I'm going to that city. And inside that city, I've got a place. If you don't like the word mansion, that's fine. For me, it'll be a mansion. Especially if it's as big as that guy thinks it's going to be. Yeah. Yeah. I'm going there. I'm going to live there
exhilaration. That's my exhilaration. That's what's driving me. I don't belong here. I belong there.
In the 11th chapter of Hebrews, it said that Abraham and Sarah were looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. They were looking for that city, weren't they? In the 12th chapter of Hebrews, the Hebrew writer talks about the patriarchs of old and how that they too were longing for that to be with God. And it says God has prepared them a city. God has prepared us a city. In the 13th chapter of Hebrews, and I've quoted that verse many times, he says, we have here no continuing city. This isn't our home. But we seek one to come. Listen, if Abraham was looking for a city, the Hebrew writer was looking for a city, the early church was looking for a city, we need to be looking for that city. Early in those verses, and I didn't make reference to them, where he says that the angel said, I'm going to show you the bride, the Lamb's wife. And you know, a lot of people have taken that and said, well, this is just a figurative image of the bride of Christ. Look, this is where the church is going. I mean, this is symbolic of our union to Him. That's what being the bride of Christ is. We're going to be united forever with the Lord. These are the folks that inhabit the city. That's why He said that and saw the city. It makes perfect sense to me. I don't have a problem. I mean, that, you know, I trying to force what He saw into some kind of allegorical thing about the bride is. I don't get that. This is where the church is going. Amen? Yeah. We're going to heaven to forever be with the Lord, united to Him. If you're not saved, listen, nail this thing down. Be able to take your family to the city. Be able to take your friends to the city. One of these days we're going to stroll through that city. Amen? Yes, we're going to go to that city, heaven. Heaven is real. And you need to make sure that you're going there. Let us sing a verse of some song.